Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. If you're visiting with us, we are really glad to have you here. I know a lot of folks are probably in visiting family and things like that, and we're happy to have you as part of our group this morning. I notice Emily is back from college over here. Good to have you back with Lance over there. And I know there's probably several others that that I haven't seen, but we're glad you're here. For those of you who've got family out of town visiting, we'll be praying for their safe return coming up soon. As Carl already mentioned, we've got a fifth Sunday singing up at Lebanon this afternoon. Our group here at the building will not meet. The groups within homes have been left up to each of those groups, so you can check with Tyler or Norm or Mike and see what's going on at their homes tonight or if anything's going on at their homes tonight. But I hope you'll choose to be a part of something that we have going on this afternoon or this evening. If you want to open up your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Not somewhere we spend a whole bunch of time, but maybe somewhere we should spend a little more time sometimes. We were talking this morning in the adult class about the amount of time Jesus spent in quoting Scripture and also in prayer. And of course, when Jesus quoted Scripture, he was too busy living out the New Testament to be quoting it. And so it was Old Testament that he was quoting all that time. And there are a lot of things that we can pick up and take from there. And we'll look at maybe a somewhat familiar passage at parts today, but hopefully be able to take something good from it as we get going. Beginning in chapter 6, verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So you've got this group of Israelites who is getting ready to move into the promised land. And there is something that they need to know before they get there. And he says here that I'm going to teach you to observe these things. And I thought, probably as good a time as any to think of something like this, as we have just observed Black Friday. No, we have just observed Thanksgiving and Black Friday, and I hope you enjoyed our Black Friday special of free worship this morning. But we have this observation of Thanksgiving, which is an interesting thing to me because we are really a blessed people, and the fact that we need to set aside some sort of time to remember that we are blessed people is kind of funny. But I think tells us something about who we are. Because we have, kind of the famous way we look at it in psychology at least, is the glass half empty people, the glass half full people. And as I think I've told you before, I'm the glasses too large person. But you see it as half full, you see it as half empty. You're optimistic, you're pessimistic. And most of us, when we wake up each morning, don't immediately start with the thought of, wow, I'm really blessed. Now, some of us do. And for those of you who do, you need to rub off more on the rest of us because we could use a little more of that. Most of us start off each morning with, as I did this morning, even on a Sunday, which I enjoy Sundays, at 7 o'clock, the alarm goes off, and I turn that alarm off. And at 7:10, the second alarm goes off, and I turn that alarm off. And at 7:20, I know it's the point of no return. And that one usually actually gets me out of bed and I get moving. I also know that my alarm is my phone, and it is across the room because I've got to get up to go get that thing to make sure I'm going to get moving. And when I look at the mirror for the first time in the morning, my first thought is not, wow, I'm really blessed. My first thought is, oh man, what a mess. Or my first thought might be of this thing and this thing and this thing I've got to do. One of my first thoughts this morning was, normally I will come in here at about 8:15 in the morning. And this morning I thought to myself, when I left on Wednesday, it was 56 degrees in my office because the heat had broken. And we didn't want to pay holiday rates to fix it because we're smart. And so we decided nobody will be here over the weekend. Let's just let it go. And I thought, I don't think I'm going to 8:15 today and sit in 56 degrees because it'd probably be 46 degrees because how much colder it is outside this morning. I'm just going to stay at home and do my normal things at home. And I go through this whole process of thoughts that don't always start with blessing. And he understands here, as we have in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that we are going to need to be taught to remind ourselves of these things. He understands that it is one generation is going to need to teach the next about what is important, about what we need to concentrate on, about what we need to think on, And I think in our midst, we see that kind of thing happening. But this is the design that will be laid forward. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess. And in verse 2, he continues, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Your God has set all these things out for you. And it's interesting, his reasoning, because throughout life, we have rules that we understand the reasons for, we have rules that we do not understand the reasons for. And if you're anything like me, the ones that you understand the reasons for are a lot easier to follow. When they're arbitrary and you realize they're arbitrary, not quite as sure about those rules. And as parents and children, I think we see that kind of thing develop. How many times have you as a parent caught yourself saying something along the lines of, because I am the father, because I am your mother, because I said so. And are all those things true? Absolutely they are, and I have relied on them many times. But the ones where I can say, because if you touch that hot stove, you're going to burn your hand, and you're going to regret that later. If you do this thing, there will be a consequence that comes with it. And as he talks about the commands, he says that you've got to keep these, and part of it is so that you may enjoy long life. And so these people, as they look at all these laws that will go through the book of Leviticus, why are all those things there? Well, partly because they're about God's relationship with us and ours with his, and sometimes ours with each other, but sometimes they are just so you can enjoy a good long life. If your parents at an early age had not taught you to look right and then left and then right again before you cross the street, or left, right, or left, whichever way it goes, you may or may not be enjoying a good long life at this point. If you didn't think of that each time, if you didn't think of all the things that you need to think of to make it through life, and God's rules are the same, think of the things that God has laid out for us, the way he has designed which for us to live. And to some in our world, they may look at it and say, that looks kind of boring. But if you really stop and think about his rules and his ways, do they not enhance our lives? Do they not make our lives better? Do they not make our lives longer? And then he says, hear Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, of your, the God of your ancestors, promised you. And he says for the first of a couple times in this chapter, be careful. Now, I don't know who amongst us are the careful ones and who amongst us are the thrill seekers. I'm the careful one. I am not the thrill seeker. When I would go to school, we lived a mile from my school growing up. There was a hill that we would go down that if you went down it too fast, your stomach would do that thing that your stomach does. And you go, ooh, I didn't like that. Roller coasters are a series of those. I want nothing to do with roller coasters. Some of us are the careful. Some of us are the, it's got to be exciting and different and new all the time. And he begins here saying, be careful, because if you are not careful, if you do not remember these things, there are consequences that will come with that. And you think of how many times you begin to forget about something, get a little too comfortable with something, and you're not careful. Paul was sharing a story with me this morning about driving on black ice and didn't realize he was on black ice because the whole road was black ice. Usually you see patches of it and you can kind of pick it out. He didn't know. And the way you drive when you're on ice is different than the way you drive when you're not. When I see white on the road where I come from, it's either ice or snow and it's going to be slick. This frost on the road the last couple mornings has thrown me off. And we got to the edge of our parking lot this morning and slammed the brake on to see what was going to happen, just so we would know what to expect. So we're being careful. We want to know what it is we're going to encounter. And so as these rules are being taught generation after generation, it is so that we can know. And so then he says in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Hear, O Israel, listen. Listen to these words that I'm going to say to you. And then love. Love your God. And if you love your God, it changes everything that follows. If you love your husband or your wife, it changes everything that follows. If you love your child, it changes everything that follows. If you love your God, then the way you act, the things you do, the people you're with, what is important, what it is not, all begins to change. And if you were not in the adult class this morning, I think you miss out on some of these things that we were talking about in there. We're not real good at this all the time. We were talking about the difference of Black Friday and Thanksgiving Thursday, and how funny those things are back to back, and how for a lot of Christians, the amount of emphasis on the two is pretty similar, or maybe a little bit over in the wrong direction than the one you would hope. We get caught up in the materialism around us. We get caught up in all the things going on around us in our culture. And what we would learn here is hear who your God is and love your God. And when you know your God and you love your God, then the way all these other things happen should change. The amount of focus we have on things that are unimportant should change. The amount of focus we instead have on God should change. Our lives should look like the lives of people who love God. And these commandments I give to you today, they're to be on your hearts. So what does that mean? Yesterday, my wife was cooking things. I was watching, trying not to get in the way. My wife was cooking these lemon, she decided she wanted to make lemon cookies. And I was like, all right, I like lemon, I like cookies, this is a good idea. She's going to make lemon cookies, and I said, well, what kind of lemon cookies are you making? And she said, I'm really not sure yet. I said, all right. Is this something you've never done it before, this particular one? And I don't have a recipe. I'm making lemon cookies. And I thought to myself, if you had sent me into the kitchen with all the things there at my disposal and said, make lemon cookies, I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. Now, I could get on my phone and look up a recipe, or I could get in a cookbook and find a recipe, or maybe luck out and find one in the back of a package of something. Or better yet, if they make it in those tubes you can get in the freezer section, then I'm set. I have no idea how to make lemon cookies. My wife understands that when you put these things together and these things together and these things together, that basically it's going to come out in this kind of form. So if I add this flavor to it and this should come out like a lemon cookie. And sure enough, it did. Now, why do I say this? Because if these things of God become personal enough to us that they are on our hearts, are there going to be times that we're going to need to consult here to figure out what to do? Sure. Should we be praying all the time to figure out what it is we ought to do or what direction we should go? Sure. But do some of these things begin to become second nature to us because it is on our hearts? Yes, they do. Now, the danger in that is, we forget. How many times have you been driving around Eugene and been in the left lane of two-lane traffic going one lane, two lanes going the other way, turning lane in the middle, and the person in the left lane that you were behind decides it's time for a right turn, and they just stop right there in the middle of the left lane, driving down the road, traffic behind you moving at 40 miles an hour, and you are stuck, my friend. So frustrating. And I think to myself, at age 15, when they handed me that driver book, they explained to me that there's this little lever on your car over here that you push one way or the other, and there are signals on there that tell people behind you what you're doing. We get so comfortable, we forget. Now, not you or I, all those people out there. Sometimes we get maybe a little too comfortable here and we forget, or we start to assume the way I want must be the way that God wants. But we're told here to write this on our hearts because this should be that close to who we are. Who we are, our second nature is, hear and know that the Lord your God is one and that you love that God. And Jesus would add in the New Testament, and love your neighbor as yourself. You get these things together, you get these things written on your heart, and a lot of those other problems begin to take care of themselves. So it will be on your hearts. And then he says, impress them on your children. Now note what he does not say here. Your Bible school teachers for your kids will impress these things on your children. No offense, Bible school teachers. They will too, and they'll do it on Sundays. But that's not what we're talking about here. This is your family. This is your life. Impress these things on your own children. Live it out, teach it, pray it, read it, however it is you get there, but impress these things on your children. Talk about them. Family devotional time at 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. No, talk about them when you sit at home. What do we talk about when we sit at home? And by the way, guilty. What do we talk about when we sit at home? Homework. Is your homework done? What's the deal with that grade? You need to fix that. What do we talk about when we sit at home? What time does Alabama play next week? What do we talk about when we sit at home? Man, those cookies are good. All kinds of things that don't mean nearly as much. Talk about them when you sit at home. When you walk along the road, what are we doing when we walk along the road now? Earbuds. Earbuds, they don't see traffic, nearly get themselves hit by cars. Maybe this is you. We don't talk about it when we walk down the road. When you lie down, we were good at this at one point. Remember back when your kids said prayers at night? Somewhere along the way, that begins to wear off just a little bit. We start to lose sight of that just some. When you lie down and when you've hit alarm number three, when you get up, which means all the time. We are teaching each other about this all the time. We are teaching our children about this all the time. Why? Because there is no more important lesson we can teach. My mother-in-law is a retired math teacher. She knows a song, I believe it's to the tune of Pop Goes the Weasel, that is the quadratic equation. I couldn't tell you the quadratic equation anymore. I know I had to know it somewhere way back when. Have no idea what it is now. I remember when our kids were very small, she would sing the quadratic equation song, and I thought, these kids are going to be advanced somewhere along the way. I remember my mom, when I was a kid, took pride in the fact that at about age 4, I knew all the states and capitals. Is that handy now? Not all that much, although I guess when I moved out here, I knew Salem was relevant somehow. Are those good things to know? Sure. I can still tell you all the adjectives and prepositions, no, the prepositions and the helping verbs from my 5th grade English textbook, because me and another guy in the class wanted to see who could say them faster. Nerd, yes. Are those things relevant? Yeah, but not like this. And so he says to us, teach your kids about this and do it all the time. And the reason for all that, you know, when you're walking down the road, when you lie down, when you get up, this is to remind us of everyday life situations. This is part of who we are. Everything we encounter, you're watching a movie. I hope that you can get this gene that I got in youth ministry where I would watch a movie and I could not watch it and not think of a thought for some devotional that would come later because there was such a great theological thought in here. I wish we could all do some of those things. Watching a TV show, watching a movie, seeing athletic events and seeing some kind of display of humility or some display of sportsmanship and thinking about God and all of that. When we lie down, when we get up, wherever we are talking to our kids, to our families about God. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. All the time, everywhere. I hope you have stuff on your walls that remind you of God. I hope you have stuff that you wear that reminds you of God. I hope you have places you go that remind you of God. And I hate that we need all of that, but God knows that we need all of that because we don't always think of Him as we should. When the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land large with large flourishing cities that you did not build. Now for them, quite literally, as they're going to take over this land, for us, we have an awful lot of things that we did not build. I benefit each week from a building I did not build. And some of you were here when it was built and you remember that whole process, but for a lot of us, we are benefiting from something generations before did. cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide. You worked hard for all that stuff. Oh, but God provides. And don't start to kid yourself into, this is because of something I have done. It's not because of something I have done. This is not because of the great work you have done, although it has been great work. It has been because of the blessings of God. Filled with good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Do not forget. And notice also, the second time here he says, be careful. Be careful that you do not forget, because it matters. It matters where all this came from. It matters where these blessings come from. It matters that it's not of something you have done or I have done or we have done. It is something that God has done. Because of God's blessings, here we are. And for them, he had to remind them, don't forget, because what are they going to do? They're going to forget. Now, I hate sometimes that it takes Thanksgiving each year for us to have this time that we remember to be thankful. We can be thankful every day. But if it takes Thanksgiving for you, let's be really, really thankful during this time of year, because we have been blessed an awful lot. Paul would put it in this way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will. We struggle a lot wondering what it is God's will is, what he would have us to do, how he wants us to be, what matters. Here it is. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, which sounds a lot like what James wrote that we talked about a week or two ago. All circumstances, give thanks. And I'm going to guess, even within the course of this weekend, there are things that you are very thankful for, and there are things that have been frustrations. And when you get family together, there are people that you are very thankful for, and there are people that you're hoping you survive the weekend with. It's the nature of things. And Paul would remind us that regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the positive or the negative of it, that we should give thanks, we should pray continually, because that's what Jesus does, and we should rejoice always. So this morning, that brings the question to us, are we giving thanks? Are we being thankful? And I wouldn't plan on going here this morning, but we did in the adult class, and I thought this was a good place to wrap that up, and maybe a good place to wrap this up too. For those of us who tend to be cynical or negative about things, sometimes we're excited just to get to a point where we're not cynical or negative about things. Sometimes we don't realize we're cynical or negative about things, and someone points it out to us, and then we have to tell them they're wrong. What if we were positive about things instead? Or what if, like we talked about in class this morning, we took the next step, which is, what if we encourage and build each other up? Because if we are truly thankful for each other, isn't that the way it should show? I mean, it should show in the way that says, I notice what you do, and it makes my life better, it makes the life of others better, it makes the life of this church better. We are thankful for each other, but we too often either don't say it or assume someone else will. So I'm going to give you the same challenge that I gave the class in there this morning. Someone this week is going to do something that you appreciate. They're going to do something positive that you notice. They're going to do something good for somebody else. And most of the time, our default mode is we just maybe smile to ourselves or think, hey, that was kind of cool, or maybe even tell somebody else about it, but we don't say anything to encourage or build up that person. This week, I want you to leave here and be different than that. This week, I want you to take this idea of Thanksgiving past last Thursday and past Black Friday and past all the leftovers that are in your fridge right now. And I want you to take it to, who are you thankful for this week? And it might not even be something you realize is going to happen yet. It might happen on Thursday. And when that thing happens, I want you to take note of it, and I want you to tell that person about it. And I don't know the way you do that. If it's writing a note, if it's sending a text, if it's making a phone call, if it's just giving somebody a pat on the back, don't let it go by this time. If it's in, I think it was Larry that might have mentioned this morning, could even be somebody in your own house. Maybe it was Don. Could even be somebody in your own house. How often do we overlook those folks because they have to deal with us all the time and forget that they are making our lives better too? I am thankful I am married to somebody who can pull ingredients out without a recipe and make delicious lemon cookies. I'm thankful that for the first time I was able to take communion with both of my children sitting there between, well, one of them serving. I'm thankful for the spirit of people. I'm thankful there are people that wanted to teach classes this morning. I am thankful there are people who get here early to make sure everything is ready to go for us. I'm thankful Jerry always remembers when Alabama wins and reminds me about it. I'm thankful Jesse's okay after his wreck. I'm thankful nobody got taken out on Black Friday, apparently. I'm thankful for so many things this morning. And most weeks, I'll just let all those things go by. This week, let's tell each other about it. Or let's tell people that are not in this room about how thankful we are for what they do in our lives. This morning, if you don't feel appreciated, there's probably a lot of that going around. And know that we appreciate that you're here today as a starting point. Appreciate that you're still awake. Appreciate that you want to be a part of what we're doing. This morning, if you feel left out of that, I would encourage you to be part of the solution to that too, and to find someone else who might feel the same way and let them know how much they're appreciated. This morning, if you think, you know, I'd like to be a part of a family that does those kinds of things, we do it sometimes. Other times we got to be reminded, just like the folks here in Deuteronomy. But we're trying, and we would love for you to be a part of this family. We'd love to take you in, I don't know if it's still as cold as it was a few weeks ago, but we'll take you in the water up there, cold or warm or whatever it is, and baptize you into the name of Christ. And you can begin living that new life. This morning, if you look at yourself and think, I need to do better, I would guess a lot of us could probably say that. And if there's something publicly you need to say or something that we can pray about in your life, we'd be glad to do that today. But whatever you do, don't leave here the same today. Leave here as a person that is going to talk about these things with your family on the road or at night or in the morning. Leave here being someone who is going to be continually praying, continually joyful. Leave here being someone who is going to encourage and build up the rest of the body of Christ. Any need you have today, please come as we stand and sing.